You're listening to Love and War with David Harwood. This is a weekly podcast where David offers spiritual insights that are aimed to enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. If you are edified by what you hear, please recommend this podcast to people you love. Now, here's David.
Having had such a tremendous debt canceled, Peter must have loved Jesus all the more deeply. No doubt, he must have appreciated the love that Jesus had, the wonderful, forgiving, merciful, welcoming love of Jesus, in an exceptionally deep way. So deeply, in fact, that it became the foundation upon which the rest of his life and service was built. Without the love of Jesus, Peter's story might have ended with his return to fishing. Could he have gone on ministering in the name of the Lord whom he had betrayed without the restoring demonstration of his forgiving love, without the renewed call to serve him? To understand Peter's personal perspective of the love of God, we need look no further than Peter's denial and restoration. If any man knew the healing, forgiving, restoring, welcoming love of God, it was this man. Peter's writings. What about Peter's writings? What does he tell us about the love of God? In contrast to John's writings, the love of God is specifically mentioned only a few times in Peter's letters, and yet his writings are infused with his understanding of the foundational nature of God's love. One of the major themes of Peter's writings is the covenant relationship between God and his people, as seen in the Hebrew Scriptures. Peter relies heavily on the Old Testament as he writes. He speaks of our relationship with God through Jesus with a frame of reference similar to that of the Old Testament authors. Sometimes Peter quotes the Torah and the prophets. Why this heavy reliance? For starters, Peter was a Jewish man. Peter's view of redemption was shaped by the sacred Hebrew Scriptures, the record of Israel's history, in particular, the record of the Exodus. Every Jewish family was commanded to remember and commemorate the Exodus. Exodus 12:14. Peter had been steeped in this history from childhood. As a child, he had heard the story recited over and over. Later, when he had his own household, Peter would retell the tale. It is no wonder it shaped his understanding of our redemption. Beyond this, however, Peter was writing with a purpose. He had a point he wanted to make. One thing he wanted to get across was the wondrous nature of what God has done for us, of what he has in store for us, of his heart towards us. The Exodus was a familiar story, firmly established as sacred history. It provided Peter with a revelatory pattern from which to draw frequent illustrations. Let's consider for a few moments what this Exodus language in Peter means. First of all, the Exodus is a story of redemption. It reveals a pattern of how God works in the lives of individuals and groups. The Exodus is Israel's history, yet it reveals God's plans for every man. It reveals God's plans for you. Though Peter doesn't spell out the love of God, certainly his love is revealed in the Exodus. Redemption. It's personal. It is easy to take the following concept for granted, but it is vital to remember that God is very personally invested in the process of redemption. Look at what God said to Moses in Exodus 3:7-8a. Notice how personal this is. The Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey." I have seen, not I have heard a report. God himself saw them. The affliction of my people, not an oppressed people, and I have a principled ethical hatred of oppression. My people, these people belonged to God. I have given heed. I am aware. God was personally responding to their cries for deliverance. I have come down to deliver, to bring them up. God himself came down to accomplish his delightful purposes for them, to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land. This land was the location of God's holy habitation. This was the place he had chosen to dwell, his very own land. Exodus 15:13. This same personal involvement is mirrored in 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. As God personally redeemed Israel, God himself redeems us in the person of his very own Son. We should receive this deeply, personally. In the same way God guided Israel to his dwelling place, we are being brought into a present and eternal fellowship with him. Let's take a deeper look at the level of God's personal investment in our redemption. The God of Israel gave his people specific instructions concerning the first Passover. The plan was the same for large families and for small. If the firstborn of each household was to be saved, if God was to protectively hover over each household, then one primary thing was needed: the blood of a spotless young lamb. Like Israel, we all need redemption. We too need the blood of a lamb. We are enslaved to selfishness, sin, the world system, and satanic powers. An atoning sacrifice for sin is absolutely necessary, and it can only be found through the shed blood of the Messiah, Jesus. You were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1, 18-19. Redemption, the price equals the value. Peter pronounced the blood of Jesus to be precious. 1 Peter 1:19. This is important. Please consider this. Our worth to the Creator is demonstrated by the ransom he paid, the Lamb's precious blood, the blood of his beloved Son. God loved you enough to offer up his only Son as a sacrifice for your sins. Nothing is more valuable than the blood of Jesus. This uttermost price indicates your absolute value to God, the degree of our indebtedness, and the ruthlessly loving determination of God to redeem us. Only the precious blood of Jesus is valuable enough to pay the high price for our redemption. Psalm 49:7-8 tells us, "No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough." The blood of Jesus is the only worthy ransom. As we consider this, we can begin to rightly esteem the value of the Messiah's blood. When we see what God was willing to pay, we are able to appreciate what we are worth to him. Again, this extraordinary price indicates the astonishingly high value God places upon you. In paying such a price, was he deceived? Did he pay a high price for what is essentially valueless? Perhaps in our own estimation, we would say, yes. However, in this instance, faith triumphs over the voice of reason. We must bow our evaluations and recognize that we are invaluable to the Father. How valuable? Well, how precious is the blood of the beloved Son of God? Redemption, the reason. In the light of God's personal involvement in our redemption, let's ask Peter a question. Peter, why did Jesus die for me? Note his answer. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. 1 Peter 3:18a. Why did he die? Was it because he hates you? Is he indifferent? No. Jesus loves you and wants you to be with him where he is. Jesus is in the Father's presence. He is where the Father dwells. Jesus gave up his life to bring you to God. Messiah atoned for you so you could abide with God. He died to draw you to Father. Once again, Peter refers his readers to the Exodus event. He's utilizing the same type of language used to describe Israel's deliverance from Egypt. Thus says the Lord, "Let my people go, that they may worship me." Exodus 8:1b. In your loving kindness, you have led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength, you have guided them to your holy habitation. Exodus 15:13. You will bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. Exodus 15:17. But you shall seek the Lord at the place which the Lord your God will choose from all your tribes to establish his name there for his dwelling, and there you shall come. Deuteronomy 12:5. God's desire for humanity to be with him is hinted at from the beginning of Israel's history. The purpose of redemption and their settling the land was that they might live with God at the center of their lives. God redeemed Israel to guide them to the place he chose to dwell. According to Peter, we should receive this as a holy prototype because this is also God's pattern for us. This is God's motivation. This is why Jesus died for us. He did it to bring us to God. Why? Because of God's desire and love for us. This is Peter's gospel. Chapter summary. When we looked at the way John related to the love of God, we found that he personally embraced and deeply received the love of God. His identity was fundamentally shaped by the love of God. His identity could not be separated from the love that Jesus had for him. This is a profound example of abiding in the love of Jesus. It is easy to see that, to John, knowing the love of God was an important part of his reality and relationship with God. His writings overflow with the love of God. He wanted to pass the knowledge of this love along. We know that Peter's personal relationship with Jesus was also shaped by Jesus' love. After he denied the Messiah, Jesus restored him. Consequently, Peter's life was marked by the loving acceptance, restoration, and forgiveness of Jesus. We can also see that to Simon Bar-Jona, the love of God was a rock-like reality. At the center of Peter's understanding of redemption was the Exodus, and the Exodus clearly displays the loving heart of God towards his people, Israel. To Peter, we too are being personally brought out by a loving, faithful deliverer. To Peter, the love of God is woven deeply into the story of our redemption. From these two men, we once again find that the love of God is supposed to be central to the life of a believer. The story of redemption, the forgiveness of God, Jesus' death on the cross, all of these things are pointing towards the loving heart of God. Consider, does God love some people more than others? Yes. Does God love everyone the same? Yes. Imagine a row of glasses. Each of them is intended to receive. Some, however, are already filled. Now imagine an inexhaustible, overwhelming supply of love that is waiting to be poured upon and into these vessels. The pouring is already taking place, but some are receiving more than others. Some vessels are full. Anything poured into them spills over. Some are partially empty. A few are empty. If God's love is being poured upon these vessels, which are being filled? Which are receiving? Which are rejecting? Is the same amount of love being poured onto each vessel? Yes. Is the same amount of love being received by each vessel? No. Now suppose God's love is not static, but dynamic love, a love that knows, searches, interacts, delivers, strengthens. Suppose that that is what is being poured out. Then are there vessels that are being loved more than others? Well, if the term loved is a dynamic verb indicating interaction, yes, but the same amount of love is available for each vessel. Each glass is under a continual outpouring of divine attention and compassion. What type of vessel are you? Open up and receive.
Love and War is written and presented by David Harwood. Editing is by David and Sammy Avino, who is also the producer and technical advisor for the podcast. David is the pastor of Restoration Fellowship in Glen Cove, New York, and the author of the books God's True Love and For the Sake of the Fathers. To purchase copies of David's books, please go to loveofgodproject.org. The theme song for this podcast is Skirmish, from the album Combustion, which was written and performed by Leonard Jones. Additional episodes of Love and War can be downloaded on the Podbean app or through iTunes. For more information on Love and War, Restoration Fellowship, God's True Love, or For the Sake of the Fathers, visit us on restorationfellowshipny.com, loveofgodproject.org, book.forthesakeofthefathers.com, or you can follow us on Facebook at Restoration Fellowship NY, Love of God Project, Love and War DH, and For the Sake of the Fathers. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email David at loveandwar_DH@yahoo.com. As always, please remember to share Love and War and support us by leaving a positive review on iTunes and Podbean.